You're listening to One Team in Wales, the podcast by Taff and Daff, and it is myself, Aled Hopkins, going on Halston duties this week with no Binti around, and with me, Peter Miller, Taff and Daff columnist. Peter Miller, I should give you your full title in this organisation, Pete. And we are looking back at Glamorgan's last game and looking ahead to their next. And there's been a lot going on in English cricket this week, with obviously the fallout of the first test against New Zealand and the Ben Stokes, Gus Atkinson incident. It had been a bit quiet on the Glamorgan front until then, Peter, but then a absolute hammering on the South Coast last weekend has kind of dampened spirit a little bit amongst Glamorgan fans, who were pretty positive after a strong start to the season in the Blast and in the County Championship. But it was not a great weekend for Glamorgan, was it?
Yeah, just first off, just really pleased that you've been adhering to the Taff and Daff curfew. That's pleasing. I'm glad that you made it back in time. I mean, just kind of Sussex, obviously, you know, it's kind of one of those ones that are a side that maybe just have a little bit to prove. Obviously, they've had the off-field stuff that's resulted in them having a points deduction, and then to still be head of the table is great. I think I can imagine Paul Farbrace, being the man that he is, having the conversations about how none of this is your fault and we need to prove to people that we're a cricket team that can do stuff. And, you know, they did great. James Coles did great. Anad Kat was fantastic, as you expect from your, like, that's the kind of performance that you expect having won the toss from your big name overseas player, right? That's what you want from them. And he is a big name overseas player in a way that Glamorgan haven't really had in the last little while. If you think, you know, with the greatest respect to Ryan Hadley, he's not at that level in terms of name recognition, shall we say. So yeah, a chastening defeat. And you know, there's a few talking points out of it, I think.
Yeah, I should have mentioned in the build up to that question, it was a defeat by an innings and 98 runs. Glamorgan bowled out for 155 in the first innings, and Sussex in reply were 521 all out in their first innings. And then Glamorgan fell to 268 all out in the second innings, and it was all over by Sunday. But yeah, I think just to pick up on the last point you made, I remember listening to Paul Farbrace in his, you know, when Sky Sports and whatever go around the counties in pre-season and speak to all of the coaches and maybe some of the captains as well ahead of pre-season. I remember watching Paul Farbrace's his interview there, and he said exactly that. He said, you know, we're not going to let what's going on in the background affect our cricket. And I think he's quite pragmatic in the sense that he knows his players will have no guarantees that they're going to be there next year. And they're not only fighting for Sussex cricket this season, but they're fighting for a potential new contract elsewhere next season, right? Or one of the few contracts that might be given out at Sussex at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting, isn't it, that when you're in that position, a club I always feel goes one of two ways, right? Which is either roll your sleeves up and prove people wrong, or collapse a little bit, right? And I think it's a credit to them and to Farbrace in terms of the way he's led the side that isn't what's happened, right? So good for them. And, you know, and they've got some really good players there, like James Coles, you know, should be playing for England more than he has and more than he hasn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a very, very good player.
Jack Carson as well has been another one who's knocked on the door of England selection. Let's go through the scorecard then. Let's get that out of the way first. It doesn't make for pleasant listening for a Glamorgan fan. But first innings, as I mentioned, 155 all out. Highest score was Ben Kellaway with 33. Sean Dixon got 31. There was 5 for Zainul Hasan, 6 for Asa Tribe, 15 for Kieran Carlson. Colin Ingram got the first of two ducks in this game, which we will come on to later. Chris Cook with 29, Van der Hoofden with a duck, Mason Crane with 17, and then Norton and Hadley with 1 and 6, respectively. In reply, Sussex, Daniel Hughes and Tom Haynes at the top of the order, 72 and 48. Tom Allsop didn't get in on the runs, with 10, Jacqueline in 21, and then James Coles with a massive 224 not out, a career best for him. Absolutely sensational. John Simpson, 34, Tom Price, 4, Jack Carson, 46. Very valuable runs from him. Dom Goodman with 1, Sean Hunt, and Anad Kat with 12. For the bowlers, you know, went for runs, obviously, as you will do when 500 are put on the board. But another strong performance from Tom Norton, 3 for 119 off 22 overs. Van der Hooten, 2 for 74 off 29. Again, at the ripe old age of 34, 35, whatever he is, still the most overs bowled for Glamorgan in the game. 2 for Ben Kellaway as well, a strong game for him. 2 for 69 off his 23. Mason Crane with 1, Hadley with 1, and Zain Ul Hassan with 1 as well. Then in the second innings, Glamorgan got off to a decent start with Ul Hassan and Tribe getting 30 and 64. Carlson then with 32. Ben Kellaway, 55. So backed up his strong performance in the first innings as well. Another duck for Colin Ingram, this time off 12 balls. Dixon with 4 this time, Cook 26, Van der Hooten 17, Crane 3 not out, and ducks for Hadley and Norton. So, yeah, a bit of a mixed bag there, Peter. But a strong game for Ben Kellaway, but I didn't catch as much of this game as I have in previous weeks, but I did watch Thursday morning, and Glamorgan lost the toss in this game, and Sussex put them into bat. And it has to be said, and I think Richard Dawson said at the end of the game that it was a bad toss to lose, and it did look that way. There was a lot of cloud, a lot of humid air in the air down at Hove, and it was very favourable conditions for somebody like an Anad Kat to rip through the Glamorgan order.
Yeah, it's a bad toss to lose, but you still lost by an innings and 90-odd runs, right? Jimmy, like, that's not good enough. You know, and I like, obviously his job is to, I always think as well, and I think it's true more of Dawson perhaps than other county coaches, is that I think a lot of the time, if you're being smart, you're talking to your team as much as you're talking to the media, right? Like, that's the way to do it, is that it's a way to kind of support your team and all the rest of it. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty poor showing, but in the, you know, you can't look at anything in isolation. And Glamorgan have had, I think, we would both agree, and I think anyone who's been watching would agree, an absolutely fantastic start to the county championship season. And I think if you told me at the start of the season that this would be the position that they were in at this point of the season, you'd bite their hands off, right, for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, 100%, this is a great start to the season, but it's not really good enough, is it, to lose the way that they did. And it's kind of actually had a pretty significant impact on where they were at the table before this, right? I mean, granted, there's 18 points between where Glamorgan are in first place. But, you know, if you think at the start of this game, they were right in the mix, and now having basically scored, I mean, was it 0 points they got from this game?
I think they got three.
Three for bowling, right?
Yeah.
You know, to go from, you know, that obviously that makes an impact. They're still comfortably outside of the relegation zone. You know, Hampshire and Leicestershire having pretty stinking seasons, you know, one win between those two sides and 9 losses between them. So they're still, what, 32, 33 points clear of being in the relegation zone, which is fine, but you can't have too many more of the performances, regardless of the test result. You can't, the toss result, you can't have too many performances that are that chastening without it being a worry. But yeah, I'm not worried.
I think that is worth mentioning the table, as it looks pretty brutal for Glamorgan to go from third to eighth after one game. You know, it sounds probably a lot worse than it is. But as you mentioned there, there is only 18 points between Glamorgan in eighth and now Essex, who are now the top of the table in first, and Sussex are just 1 point behind them in second. And there is a 32-point gap to Hampshire, who are in ninth place, so, and Leicestershire, who are even below them in 10th. So it doesn't look quite as bad as it first appears, but it is a pretty brutal slide, isn't it, from one game to go from third to eighth.
But just to be clear, if you told me at the start of the season they would comfortably finish in eighth place and be in Div 1 next year, I would be delighted, right? That's the result, yeah? Like, bearing in mind, this is the first time in 20 years Glamorgan have been in the top flight. They don't necessarily have the playing staff that other people have. We've seen, and it's worth mentioning, is we've seen youngsters not only coming into the side, which is great, but coming into the side and performing. Yeah. Like, and across the T20, you know, Henry Hurl doing well.
Tom
You've got
Norton's obviously come
Tom
into the
Norton
side.
obviously doing well. I'm really excited to, as and when they give Jack Hope Bell an opportunity, because I've heard really good things about in the clips I've seen from the twos, which granted do sometimes look like they've been shot on a Nokia 3310, but he looks pretty organized and pretty decent. So there's so many things to be positive about. But I also think you just need to be honest. And losing by an innings and 90 runs isn't good enough, right? And if they're not looking at themselves and saying losing by an innings and 90 runs, regardless the test result isn't good enough, I would be surprised, because they're a more professional outfit than that. But it's a case of picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, and moving on. Like and they've had a weird T20, right? Where it's kind of a little bit like last year as well, which is win, lose one, win one, lose one. And it's kind of like, you know, and as well, we've talked about this a bit, haven't we? How they keep having these games where they finish off the last ball, which is fantastic to watch, but not
That
necessarily good for your
brings
heart.
me on to my next point, really. And what I was going to ask you next is, I sort of touched on it in the preview piece that will be available tomorrow. I think this was a sort of a culmination of three away games in the T20 Blast back to back. I mean, they went from Taunton, where they finished late, straight up to Worcester, where again there was another issue with the lights. Obviously, didn't finish as late there because it was a 5 o'clock start. And then you have to go up to Blackpool. You're not even playing at Old Trafford. And then, granted, there was a week or so in between that last T20 game, or 5 days or so between that last T20 game. But then you're down to Hove, which again is one of the furthest grounds away that Glamorgan will have to play this season. And I just think it was a little bit of a culmination of those last gasp finishes in the Blast, lots of comings and goings in the squad, and a lot of travel that just perhaps got the better of them and was just a little bit too much in the end.
Yeah. Same for everyone, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. I'm not trying to make an
No,
excuse,
no, no. Like,
obviously.
you know, but I get it. I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate, as I always do, right? Like, it's just a little. But yeah, no, it's obviously it's tricky, right? And I think probably they've had, you know, like there was the game in Northampton the night before, they're playing at home the next day, all that kind of stuff. It's not great, but you know, it's the same for most counties. Most counties have a pretty rough schedule. It's better than it used to be for cricketers, right? You remember back when I first started watching cricket, being an old man, you would have a 4 day game and they would play a Sunday league game on the rest day. Yeah, like you would stop the county championship game to play a Sunday game, and it wouldn't always be at the same venue. Like it, and not always against the same opponent. You would get in a car to drive to come and play in a game, to come back and finish a game that you started. It's pretty insane that that was kind of the schedule that we came up with, and it's hard to fit it all in. But yeah, you know, it's I think you just need to say, yeah, bad performance, move on. It is what it is.
And you mentioned there some of the players that are coming through the Glamorgan side, like Jacob Blades and Tom Norton. We said Harry Wallace is another one. And a bit of news that's sort of related to that, I suppose, that coming through today, that Kieran Carlson has been picked as the wild card pick for the London Spirit for the 100, and Sean Dixon has been picked up by the Birmingham Phoenix as well. So you mentioned in our chat earlier when that news came through that it's going to make for an interesting side for the One Day Cup, and you know, the likes of those youngsters like Blades and Hope Bell, and Harry Wallace now with Tribe being away, Kellaway away, Dixon and Carlson as well, are looking likely to get a chance in that competition.
I'm going to have a bit of a left field opinion here, which will blow your mind, Khaled. Me having a left field
Not like
opinion.
you.
Who would have thought? I think it's good for Glamorgan that they're losing players to the 100, right? Like, I genuinely do. Like, I think there's been times in the past where actually it's been a little bit of indictment for Glamorgan that they're playing their first 11 in the One Day Cup, right? Which in essence through the is become a little bit of a second 11 comp, basically, right? Yeah. And it's been great for Glamorgan. They've won it twice. Fantastic, you know, and winning a competition is great. But there's been a little bit where you're kind of there going, yeah, but why aren't Glamorgan players pushing through to be in the 100? Why aren't Glamorgan players pushing through to be in the Lions? Why aren't Glamorgan players pushing through to be getting test selection? And that's not the case, right? Like, it's a little bit like all of a sudden, you know, Glamorgan players are a little bit fashionable. And that's great, you know. And Kieran from the, the 100 he scored in the T20 was just unreal. Like, and it's, and he really can score quickly when he wants to, has a great T20 record. So it's great that he's playing in the premier T20 competition in the country. That's fantastic. And I think, I know it's not great for those that want to go and put on their Daffodil branded clothing and watch Glamorgan play in the One Day Cup, right? But one, it's more opportunities for youngsters that are kicking around, which is great. And there's games like we've already mentioned, Hope Bell, Henry Hurl, Tom Norton, them getting games under their belts, playing hard competitive cricket in a competition that's going to have a final at Lord's. Brilliant. Great. Give them the opportunity. But also, it says something about how well Glamorgan players are playing in other comps that they're being picked up. That you're losing them to the Lions. You're losing them, hopefully, to the full England side. Like, I think there's a not zero chance that we're going to have a Glamorgan player playing in as a full England international at some point this summer. I think, I don't know, I kind of feel like maybe Tribe has more of a chance being an ODI player first before a test player with the people that are ahead of him. If you think you've now seen, obviously, Jordan Cox, James Rowe, both,
And
obviously,
Emilio Gay's taken his chance as well
Emilio
as
Gay's
so
kind of
far.
taken a chance. I mean, he's now, as we record this, averaging over 50 in test match cricket. I mean, granted, small sample size, but he's on his way, and hopefully by the time people listen to it, the 40 odd that he's got at tea time on Thursday ends up being a bigger score. But but that's a good thing for Glamorgan and Welsh cricket, right? And I know there are times when, as a fan, you want to be a bit parochial about it, and kind of like, oh, we want our players playing for us. But yeah, I think it's great. Delight for Kieran, £31,000, mate. Great.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Bloody
I
hell.
mean,
I very happily take that much money.
it's well deserved, isn't it, for him? We've spoken about him being a bit underappreciated, particularly in shorter form cricket. And yeah, as you said, that 100 against Somerset was absolutely magnificent. And I really think he'll be a really good addition for the London Spirit. It's a shame he's not been picked up by Welsh Fire, but it's great to see him in the 100. And also raises another question then, with him being away in the One Day Cup, it raises a question of captaincy and who's going to take that mantle on,
Yeah, I mean,
which
that's a
will
good
be an
question.
interesting, will it be a Colin Ingram figure, very experienced member of the side, or a Tim van der Hoogte maybe, or a Chris Cook? It depends on who's going to
Yeah,
play in that competition.
it feels like a little bit of a step backwards if it's one of those guys. With the greatest respect to all of them, who I think are brilliant cricketers and also fantastic human beings. Like, all three of the lads that you've just named are genuinely really good guys, right? And I wish nothing but success for them. But it kind of feels a little bit like, give someone a chance. Do you know what I mean? Who is that? Give it a Dan Douthwaite do it. Do you know what I mean? Who is there that you could be there going, do you know what? Let's give someone a writ. Like, I think you can be a little bit unfair. Like, it would be unfair to be like, pick someone who's still establishing themselves. But I think there is an opportunity for you to be a little bit left field with it and pick someone who you think could come in someone who's guaranteed a place, but you give them the job. Not to say that I think it's a bad idea for them to give it to Cookie or Ingram or whoever, but I kind of feel like the way I always think about the One Day Cup now is that it's an opportunity to develop players. You ultimately, you're in a scenario that the best white ball cricketers aren't going to be playing in it because it's on at the same time as the 100. Give the guys an opportunity to, and that's kind of the way they looked at it with Kieran, right? I don't think Kieran's club captain if he hasn't given that opportunity in the One Day Cup, right? So who's the next person that you think, hopefully, and I think the One Team in Wales podcast is very much hashtag Team Kieran when it comes to the potential of him playing for England, right? As
Absolutely.
he does get picked for England, hopefully he does. That someone else can step in and it has that experience. So yeah, I would, we'll see who they pick and what their thinking is, but I would quite like it to be someone a bit left field, but we'll see.
Let's quickly talk about Colin Ingram then before we move on to this weekend's game. A pair of ducks in this game, and before we came on air, we were just sort of discussing his form this season. He's obviously had the two centuries and started the season pretty well. I mean, that Yorkshire game, 103 and 75, then 23 and 9 up at Notts on a tough pitch that with a good bowling attack was, you know, within the context of that game was fairly okay. 26 against Leicester and 32 against Hampshire. But then he has sort of tailed off a little bit, and that's the third duck so far in the county championship for him. And has had some single figure scores in between then as well. Is it perhaps, you know, is he suffering a little bit from age maybe at the moment? And obviously we know what a quality player he is, and he's shown that in the two innings he's got 100 in. But is that age starting to creep up on his consistency a little bit?
I do wonder, and again, the danger in all of this is a little bit talking about, getting a little bit cod psychology about it and all the rest of it, right? But he's not had a lot of cricket during that period, right? He had that one game of the one game of T20 Blast, right? When Nathan McAndrew turned up late for reasons that I don't think Glamorgan ever really properly gave us any details as to why he didn't turn up. It was all kind of like, no, he's not here, mate. Which is, whatever. I think he is someone who, I don't know, is the fact that he's played one innings in a month before he came and played that not good for him or good for him? Probably at his age, he'd just say, look, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to prepare. But you kind of feel like getting your reps in would be a good thing. And he has literally had that one game of T20 cricket where he scored 7 runs between this game and the Warwickshire game. But in the Warwickshire game on the 15th of May, he scored 100. Do you know what I mean? Like he's 3 innings away from scoring 100. So I think while, there's a reason why you talk about an average, right? And if you start, a good friend of mine, Dave Tickner, coined the phrase years ago of route maths, right? When it was Root scored a brilliant 170 odd at Lords in the first test of an Ashes series and then didn't do great. And people were like, well, if you take his 100 away, his numbers are terrible. And it's like, well, yeah, but that's not how averages work, right? And I would say Ingram's averaging 31.75 in the county championship this year. That's below what he's capable of, but it's not terrible. He's got 200s and a 50. He also brings a huge amount in terms of leadership and quality and all the rest of it. And has across the last 3 or 4 years been, outside of Kieran Carlson, Glamorgan's most consistent performer, right? Like to the extent that I actually think, was it last year when Marnus turned up for 2 games? It was, wasn't it? And Ingram out. Was it the year before?
I think
can't.
it might have been the year before. I can't
But like
remember Marnus being
the side got worse when Marnus came
there.
into
Yeah,
the side,
Marnus,
given.
yeah, whenever it was, Marnus wasn't at the same level that he had been previously for Glamorgan.
It just was,
He was out of nick a little bit.
And he played 4 innings, and across those 4 innings, I think he scored 25 runs or whatever it was. But the side actually got worse when Colin wasn't in the side, right? And this is at the time talking about one of, I know Marnus has regressed a little bit to the norm, which is always the case, I think, with cricketers when they have a great start. That tends to be what happens. It's not taking anything away from him. He's a fantastic player. But, and I don't think Colin hated the fact that he got a couple of weeks off, right? Like he is 41 years old, and as a man in my 40s, having some time off is ne never necessarily a bad thing, right? But I think I wouldn't like I just think writing him like if he goes through and has five more, six more single innings, single figure scores in a row, then maybe you start going, oof, maybe you do start thinking, should Henry Hearle come in? Should Jack Hope-Bell come in? Like those are conversations you can have. I would say right now it's probably a little bit too early. He, like I said, he is 3 innings away from having scored 100. He's still in my cricket draft fantasy team. #Kingram. Love him. But yeah, I think let's not get too doom and gloom about him just yet. But I think you're right, 2 noughts and a 7 in his last 3 innings isn't great. And he is a little bit, here's a name for you, a little bit Marvin Attapattu at the moment. It's a little bit naught or 90, right? Which isn't necessarily great.
I think it was just as well the nature of the dismissal. I saw his dismissal in the first innings, and I think off the top of my head, he came in first ball and got dropped on at first ball, and then 3 balls later, it was Crocombe bowling at him, who's obviously a very, very good bowler himself and has just been involved in the England squad this week. And Crocombe coming across to Ingram as a left-hander, so I think it was slightly back of a length, just on a roundabout, pitching a roundabout leg stump and moving away to towards the offside, and he just didn't look comfortable with it. He just sort of jabbed at it, and sort of edged one to slip after, you know, getting a real lucky break three balls before on his first ball. And he just doesn't seem at the moment like the Colin Ingram, the classy Colin Ingram that we know. He just seems to be a little bit out of sorts and a little bit stuck in his technique almost. And it's, yeah, I'm just starting to wonder whether, you know, the age is perhaps creeping up on him. Perhaps is he not seeing the ball as well as he once was, or just those reactions are just half a second slower or a couple of tenths of a second slower, which obviously at this level is the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, time will tell, right? He's got an opportunity against a very good Surrey attack to, you know, minus Matthew Fisher, obviously, who's not going to be available given the match starts tomorrow and he's busy at the Oval.
But you know, plus Gus Atkinson.
Plus Gus Atkinson.
Who has been made available for selection.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fairly decent like for like, isn't it, when you go from one England bowler to another England bowler. There are, unfortunately, some excellent nightclubs in Cardiff.
let's move on to the Surrey game then this week. As we said, Glamorgan had four away games on the bounce in the County Championship and the T20 Blast as well. So a return back to Sophia Gardens. It's been a while since that brilliant win against Somerset in the Blast. And it doesn't get any easier for Glamorgan after that thump into Sussex, as Surrey, as we know, have won three out of the last four County Championships. They haven't started the season that well, but you get the sense that they're starting to heat up a little bit, and with the quality in their lineup. I mean, I'm just looking through the scorecard here from their draw against Hampshire in the last game. And you look, it's Rory Burns, Dom Sibley, Will Jacks, Dan Lawrence, Ollie Pope, Sam Curran, Tom Curran, Jordan Clark, Matthew Fisher, James Taylor, and Reese Topley. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but 9 out of those 11 have played international cricket.
Yeah, it's just ridiculously good side, right? And I think, you know, there's an element of them struggling a little bit on the basis they play half their games at the Oval and it's really difficult to get a win, right? Like that you have to factor that in, you know, like, and there's been a lot of really great stats as they're playing this test match at the Oval about how hard it is to take wickets, how, you know, Andy Zaltzman said it's 48.3 runs per wicket at the Oval this year in first class cricket. So it's, you know, if you're saying that the average inning score at the Oval is 500, that obviously makes things very, very difficult. Even if you've got a bowling attack that is Gus Atkinson, Matt Fisher, Sam Curran, Tom Curran, Jordan Clark, Reese Topley, like, you know, that's six bowlers who would walk into any first class side as a new ball bowler, like, and they're still struggling to take wickets. So I think it'll be a test, you know, and I think, you know, they're on paper just comfortably the best county side in the country. And to be honest, I'm not even sure it's close. I don't know who comes close in terms of obviously cricket's not played on paper, right?
Yeah.
But like they are the, you know, just ridiculously stacked as far as talent's concerned. And a lot of that's to their credit, right? These are homegrown players for a big part of it. I mean, Dan Lawrence, I think, will give some credit to Essex, right? They'll probably want a little bit of their flowers as far as that's concerned. But yeah, I mean, I think it'll be an interesting match. You'd have to make Surrey favourites. But yeah, it'll be great to see how, I mean, it's this game, games like this, that make me excited about there being Div 1 cricket in Cardiff, right? Like, as a Glamorgan supporter and a Glamorgan member, or someone who's lucky enough to have a pass that gets them into the ground, which, you know, is great, right? That's nice.
Mine's finally arrived.
Oh, well done, mate. it's unbelievable. Like, you know, to see that level of cricketer come along and play in Cardiff is fantastic, right? And it should be really great entertainment across the 4 days. I'm going to watch West Indies versus Sri Lanka in the World Cup on Sunday.
Nice.
and having committed to go and do that. And then I might hang around to watch India play, maybe. We'll see.
There you
As
go.
it's a double header. But yeah, no, I mean I think it will be a really interesting test for them. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having two screens up where I've got the test match and this on in my office tomorrow.
Yeah, and going back to what you said about the oval, I mean the stats back that up. Surrey, 18 batting points taken this season, which is the second most in the division, and 15 bowling points, which is the joint least taken in the division so far. So exactly as you said, that oval pitch has been so difficult to take wickets on, and I actually think some of the you know the batters will sorry the bowlers will enjoy coming back to a you know Sophia Gardens pitch that is traditionally a lot slower and more bowler friendly to than the oval, and it should you know perhaps even out those statistics a little bit because Dan Lawrence has been flying this season for Surrey, and so has Dom Sibley, right? And you know those kind of stats sometimes when you're playing on a deck like that week or every other week. And they have been playing quite a lot of home games because obviously they've needed to play their home games before the test summer sort of kicks in. Could we see that those sort of inflated, in air quotes, stats even out in this game potentially?
Yeah, potentially. You know, I mean, and it's been interesting, hasn't it? Like my last year of doing the Glamorgan ECB Reporters Network stuff, like actually the games in Cardiff didn't play it out all that differently from the ones at the Oval, right? Where it was just a bit torturous, where it would be, you know, a little bit of green left on it in the first day. So maybe across the first two sessions, it was a bit spicy, and then it just got flatter and flatter and flatter and flatter. But that hasn't necessarily been the case over the last little while, right? There's been some absolutely fantastic finishes in the county championship. So hopefully, just a good game of cricket would be good, right? And if Glamorgan can take more than 3 points out of it, I think we'll be quite pleased, right?
And I think it's a really good opportunity, as you said, for some of these bowlers to, especially the likes of Tom Norton, who is, you know, obviously only 18, and has just come into the side and is playing really well. I mean, 4 wickets in the first innings against Sussex again, against a really good batting lineup. And you know, it's the likes of him you're excited for, isn't it? To come up against the likes of Burns and Sibley and Lawrence and Ollie Pope and hopefully show that he can mix it with those kind of guys because he's been included in the England under 19 squad for the upcoming tour of South Africa under 19s, and obviously he was taken to Loughborough ahead of the England test to bowl at the England boys. So there's clearly some sort of interest in him from the ECB hierarchy, and I think this game, although he's you know he's still a long way off that yet, perhaps. This game could really go a long way in shaping our opinion of how he's going to be able to cope at this top level.
Yeah, and I think that's really important for a cricketer in terms of their career development and their chances of playing for England, right? Is that ability to get on the radar of the England team. Like you look at like Sonny Baker, right? Sonny Baker has been, you know, made his first class debut for the England Lions, right? Like if you've got that kind of point of difference where you excite people and you're kind of in that mix, that makes a massive difference. You know, like opportunities to go up to Loughborough and bowl at the England players, stuff like that is huge for your development, right? Like I was in Guyana at the first Global Super League tournament they've got there, and Sonny Baker rocked up for Hampshire. And like it was like that, oh, okay. That's cool. Right. That's exciting, you know. And like, do you know, as another one, similar one, Josh Tung, I was at his first class debut, which was actually in Cardiff or Worcestershire. And it was like, oh, okay, that's
Who's
interesting.
this?
Who's this? And
Yeah.
that's kind of the same thing with Tom Norton, right? Like you saw him
Yeah.
run in a bowl and you go, oh, okay, this guy's a bit different, right? And that's really exciting for him. So it'll be great if over the next 5 to 10 years, Glamorgan are complaining about how they haven't got players because they're playing international cricket in the way other counties have. That, for me, is the most exciting thing of what's happened over the last 2, 3 years in Cardiff.
Yeah, and we spoke about the middle order there at Sussex a little bit and that how that kind of crumbled in that second innings. I think there was 4 wickets lost for 12 runs after that strong start in the second innings. And Do you think a key to this game is going to be whether that middle order can kind of hold up against these Surrey bowlers? Because especially if Gus Atkinson is in there as well, I'd imagine pretty fired up and emotional after everything that's gone on last week to kind of prove a point and prove that he should be reinstated back in the England side after his suspension is served, however long that may be, pending the investigation that's going on. Do you think the key to this game is not letting Surrey, either with the bat or the ball, really get their teeth into Glamorgan and just like almost like a dog with like a squirrel in its mouth or something, and just do what it wants with them?
Yeah, I think the experience Glamorgan players scoring runs is massive in this game, right? If you don't have that, then they're in trouble. Like ultimately, that's what it boils down to. You need someone like Carlson, Ingram, Dixon to stand up, right? I think it's going to be tough for, Zane is having a bit of a breakthrough year this year, but against this kind of bowling attack, opening the batting, it's going to be really, really tough. And obviously, it'd be great for Acer to see him succeed. Against this standard of attack in terms of his ambitions. But yeah, that the runs is massive. Like there is a chance against this Surrey side that things play out in a very similar way to where they played out for against them against Sussex, right? That's the danger. That if they lose the toss, get put in and they're 50 for four, then it's really, really hard to come back against a side that's going to have the likes of Dan Lawrence coming out and batting against you, against the Glamorgan attack, which isn't one of the most threatening in the county championship, right? Like, I think, they've
Probably overperformed, hasn't it?
massively overperformed. Like, I hugely overperformed. And 100% to their credit, I'm so pleased for them, but they have massively overperformed. And it is games against these sides that I think Richard Dawson's a really, really smart guy, and there would have been games where he's targeted thinking, we could get 15 points here. We could get 16 points here. And there's games where we're like, if we end up coming away with this with 7, 8, we'll be delighted. And you do feel a little bit like this Surrey game might be one of those. But we'll see. I have definitely not, I'm not doubting what this Glamorgan team do anymore, because every time I do, they make me look like a chop, which is entirely to their credit and very much deserved, because it's what I am.
And they've shown some tremendous bounce back ability as well this season after, disappointing losses. They've come back and won the next game well. So absolutely got the ability to do that. Just mentioned as well today, or sorry, just released today from the Glamorgan press team that the National Cricket Centre ahead of the game tomorrow is going to be renamed the Hugh Morris National Cricket Centre. A really nice touch, isn't it, for obviously one of Glamorgan's best ever players and directors, executives, and just an unbelievable club man who sadly passed away earlier on this year, I think it was, the back end of last year, wasn't it? Just before Christmas, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, someone, captain, opening batter, chief executive, obviously also involved in English cricket at that level as well as managing director of the England team, oversaw that brilliant period of success that they had as England sides. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice touch, and it's always nice when you've got the opportunity to have a stadium where you can name things after people. And I'm sure for his family, it's really important, because I know the development of cricket was something that was really important to him. So yeah, great stuff.
And then a couple of things just to mention before we sign off, then turning our attention to the women's team for Glamorgan, a game on Sunday against Hampshire in the County Cup. They are looking to avenge their last performance, which was their first loss of the season against Kent, who have become a little bit of a bogey team for the Glamorgan women. But Lauren Parfitt, captain, leading the way with the hot top scorer with 25, as Glamorgan were all out for 91 in that game, and then Kent chased it down with around 2.5 overs to spare in that one. It's a disappointing loss, obviously, Peter, for them. As we've said on this podcast a few times, they're one of the favourites now, with Yorkshire gone in tier one, gone up into tier one. In this tier two, they're one of the favourites for those competitions, but still, a very, very good start to the season, isn't it? Every game won, bar one.
Yeah, fantastic. And you know, I don't, I mean, it's difficult. I just, there's so much cricket to watch, and I haven't given it attention. Like, and I'm just going to be honest about it. Like, and I hate it when people who are a pundit say that, right? Oh, I've not really seen a lot of this, but you know, I mean, I've seen the scorecards and stuff. But yeah, fantastic. But like, what I wouldn't want to do is start waxing lyrical about it when I haven't given it. And that's not to say that I don't watch women's cricket. I do. I watch a lot of women's cricket. But you know, but no, it's really pleasing to see. I know for friends who have daughters who are in that pathway, it's really exciting to see the tier one stuff coming. Long may it continue. We need to get more of our women and girls playing cricket, not just as kids, but as adults. And I think one of the more pleasing things for me over the last little while is seeing, you know, I've got a friend who is her daughters all play cricket, and what we're finding now is that what she's managed to do great is the daughters are playing cricket, and then she's encouraging the mums to come and play cricket, and then we have that culture, which I think is really important, of kind of that community cricket club where you have two or three women's sides playing adult cricket across a week, right? And if we can have more of that, and we don't have that drop off of engagement from our women and girls as they get to a certain age for sport, is really important. Cricket's given an awful lot to me. It gives an awful lot to our communities, and it's great to see that continue. That's about all I can say on it. And all I can say to the Glamorgan women is, I'm sorry I've not watched more of you, but I only have so many eyeballs.
Yeah, well, I think you'll be forgiven. You are, the head of communications for a pretty big cricket league in itself, which keeps you pretty busy. So I'm sure you'll be forgiven for that. But yeah, this ought to be against Hampshire, the game at Spotty Park in Newport on Sunday. This one in the County Cup, the Women's County Cup, and it ought to be the toughest test so far for Glamorgan in that competition. Hampshire are always a very decent side, and I've had some few loans back and forth from Hampshire last season. Obviously, in the women's game, there's quite a lot of one and two game loans, which can be very difficult to keep track of. I'm not going to test my memory from last season anyway on the various loans that went back and forth. And whilst we're on women's cricket, there was a debut for Glamorgan loanee Megan McCall for Scotland in the T20 World Cup against Ireland. She was involved in the squad in the last World Cup, but didn't play a game and actually made her World Cup debut for them the other day in the win against Ireland. Got in as well. I think she went in at number five or number six, and was one not out off three balls. They are, at the time of recording, we're recording on Thursday, they are playing the West Indies this evening. So hopefully she is included in that squad as well, and can hopefully have a bit of a bit more of a bat this time, and show the world what she can do as well.
And I'll try very hard to cheer for her as much as I'm cheering on the West Indies, who I have
Yeah, you've got a
got a
little
time
bit of
for, and I've
bias.
spent a little bit of time following them around. So yeah, but yeah, it's the Women's World Cup so far has been great. If you're not watching it, watch it. I do. I'm pleased to say I've watched a lot more of the Women's T20 World Cup than I have the Football World Cup, which I think is very on brand for me. But it's like, and it by a factor of 100, I think, is probably how much of it I've watched. Comparison: I watched the second half of England play, and that's about it. So,
Well, as an Englishman, you would have been impressed, I think,
well,
by that performance last night. It
I
was
was having,
pretty pretty good.
having this conversation with someone today, actually, where they basically said the same thing, and I'm like, well, I've now spent 19 years in England and 28 elsewhere, like, and the only thing I really have left is the accent. I've now lived in Wales longer than I lived in England, so but yeah, well done for winning at the football.
There you go. You're one of us, and we'll leave it there before we go on to changing the sport entirely of what this podcast is meant to be. But yeah, we'll be following along, of course. Glamorgan get that game against Surrey underway tomorrow at Sophia Gardens. Hopefully, it can come away with a much better result than they did against Sussex. And the women's game, of course, as we mentioned on Sunday in Newport, we'll be following that one along. So, thank you very much to Peter. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, Blake will be back next week as well. And we will see you then.